Cindy Hammersley's Sunday school class is going to continue downstairs and meet as it usually does. Vicki Habermill and also Phyllis Brown are going to help lead that class. And so I wanted to make sure the gals that were a part of that were aware. Ron and Glenda, you do an excellent job each week as you select songs for us to sing. None better than today. None better. I was praying about what to do this morning as far as this message, and I was convinced I was going to continue with the order of sermons that I had lined up today, because today we were looking at the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. And I thought, how fitting, you know, thinking about Jesus offering himself for the curse of death in our behalf, and thinking about Cindy in that regard. But I just changed that sermon about 4 minutes ago, and so we're going to hold on that, guys, as far as the screen goes, and we'll pick that up at another time. Psalm 62, my soul finds rest in God alone, my rock and my salvation, a fortress strong against my foes, and I will not be shaken. There's a little pearl of wisdom that I remember. I don't remember who said it, but it states that it is doubtful that God can use a man greatly until he has wounded him deeply. If you read the Bible carefully, it is a story about that, is it not? It is God working in the life of his people that he calls to himself, who have their own sin patterns, and then through life's crises, they are forced into positions where they have to trust him in ways they thought in the past could never have been. That's the part of teaching and preaching that only goes so far. Because when the word goes out, it goes out, it doesn't return void. I think we all understand that. But at the same time, you really know that you know that you know that you know it when you have the word that's been proclaimed or read at those moments when you're all alone. Now, there's all kinds of wounds that men and women have sustained over the course of time in dealing with these kinds of crises. And God has an agenda for each one of us. I've said over the years that he's prepared a desert for each one of us, because in the desert, all you have is God to trust in. You know, it's one thing if you got a loaf of bread in the cupboard and one under your arm. It's another thing when you have to go out every single morning and trust God that when the dew raises up off the ground, you're going to have bread to eat. Deserts are ordered of the Lord to bring us to the point where we have to trust him and him alone. And sometimes that trusting is bolstered up by the very people that God has brought into our lives to help hold on to us, to encourage us, to maybe give us a word of encouragement, or sometimes a word of admonition, or word of rebuke. People that can pray with us and help set us straight. And as we're kind of negotiating through life's challenges and temptations and trials that are out there, then all of a sudden, God takes away some of that support. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Hear these words. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my woes. They looked to him, and their faces were radiant, and they'll never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to blot out the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and saves them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will deliver the soul of his servant, and none of those who take refuge in him will be disappointed. God never does anything for one reason. Being God, he has a multiplicity of agendas going on at the same time at any given moment. And the same is true when we have these kinds of calamities that come into our life. There is a multiplicity of things that he's doing in people's lives. But one of the things that is common in events where God leads us into a desert is that he's teaching us that all that we have is him. Now that's the truth of that psalm. All of those who take refuge in him will not be disappointed. Desert experiences are like that. Some of you understand very clearly what I'm saying because you might be in the midst of one of those right now. Because desert experiences not only shuffle our lives and sometimes turn everything upside down, but God in the midst of those things also takes away people. Now you know yourselves that when you gather here on Sunday morning, we're all gathered together, we draw strength from one another and encourages us, that's true. But for those of you that have crises, and those of you that are facing trials and tribulations, they could be emotional, they could be mental, they could be financial, could be spiritual. In the desert, God takes away people. And when you go home at night and you lay your head on the pillow, all you have is yourself and your own thoughts. You might have somebody right beside you on that bed who passionately and deeply loves you, But in those moments, it's just you. Those are the moments that God does great things in men and women's lives. And it's during those seasons that no preacher on the planet can clearly articulate what that is like or what you experience until you live it out. It's the experiential learning of what the Word of God is teaching. All those who take refuge in Him will not be disappointed. You can be taught about that all day long, but you don't know it. You don't apprehend it. You don't fully clutch to it until you actually experience it. There's no way to microwave that. There are no cliff notes that can be read to summarize this, to get through it more quickly. All of these seasons in our life, the saints of old, I mean, throughout the Bible, you find these stories of individuals, you know, from Abraham to Jacob to Job. I mean, it's everywhere. Moses, you know, Lord, if you love me, just kill me right now. You have to experience it on God's terms. And I think that's the word of the Lord for us this morning. This is a time in which we need, as a congregation, but also as individuals, we draw into the refuge. Somehow, in my mind, every time I read the word refuge, particularly in the Psalms, I just think of a hollowed-out place of a cave that's solid rock. It's the place of safety. That's what God is. He's a place to draw into. Now, the powers of darkness are there to tempt us to try to find solace in something else and distract us from what really matters. Our flesh will try to go at those moments just to various things that just bring us comfort, because that's what we're looking for. But the Holy Spirit's design is to cause us to draw into Him, and that's really what it is all about, is it not? I mean, it's one thing to teach about a relationship with God. It's one thing to teach about, you know, having intimacy with God. It's another thing to be with Him in our thoughts. And when we have a blow that is dealt to us, as was dealt over these last couple of weeks, God desires to use us in a special way, because He has wounded us deeply. One of the things I found about people, on one hand, in regarding the Church of Jesus Christ, on one hand, no soul is indispensable. When we get into those kinds of attitudes and thinking, we end up in pride or elevation of people too greatly. But on the other hand, it's also an acknowledgement of a truth that's present, that when that person is gone, their gift mix and the nuances of their personality is not replaced. That's what makes a loss great. See? God may raise up somebody else, and they'll do something else and in a different way and a different burden with a different personality, but it's not the same. But all of these things are designed of the Lord to bring us close to Him and experientially learn the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Listen to the truths here. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. There's no insulation from these things. Christians have been maimed and dealing with loss since the beginning. We go through those events. We experience those kinds of things. And in the process, we learn something that we would not have known otherwise, that God is our refuge and He is our strong tower. I appreciated the singing and the worship this morning and hearing the volume behind me as we were worshiping the Lord. That Psalm 34 begins with, I will bless the Lord at all times. And see, and this is a mark of Christian growth and maturity. Do we really bless Him at all times? We're never at our best than when we are worshiping God at all times. It's a lot easier in the times on the mountains than it is on those valleys. But it's also those times where we bring God praise, when we get perspective on our own sense of sorrow about whatever it is in our life that we're troubled about. We see ourselves more clearly at those moments because we have our focus on God. It's completely opposite of the world and opposite of a lot of thinking that's in the church today, where instead of looking to God and losing ourselves in His nature, His character, and what He's doing, instead of putting a microscope on myself and trying to understand myself and my own thinking, trying to find the answers of life within instead of finding the answers without, there are no answers within. And there are people in this life that have PhDs in understanding how they think and why they do the things they do because of their past, and they never get out of the circles and the patterns of their life because they're stuck on that. We see ourselves more clearly when we focus on God and His purposes in the world, which is to make us into the men and women He wants us to be. And He uses crisis to do that. That is a huge tool in the toolbox of the sanctification process. Oh, the powers of darkness are there on the shoulder, you know, to basically say, well, you know, if He really loved you, He wouldn't have brought you into this. Or if He really did care about you, He wouldn't have taken this person out of your life that is so significant. I mean, seriously, that seems almost like being destitute. It is doubtful if God can use a man greatly unless He has wounded him deeply. The Bible is full of men and women whose lives were wounded to discover that their real truth, their real source of strength, was outside of themselves and in God. It is something we go through. It is part of life. This is why Paul has the conviction that he does in Romans when he says clearly that you know all things work together for good. And he qualifies it. Not all things in the world, but all things to the saints. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, whom He foreloved, whom He set His affection upon. He would conform them into the image of His Son. The good always has something to do with being conformed into the image of His Son. Now, the text that we were going to look at today was the Last Supper. And there are a lot of thoughts that I have to add to that. And we'll get to that in weeks ahead. But Luke makes it very clear that Jesus remarked, earnestly I have desired to share this night with you, or to share this meal with you. The closest people on the planet to Him, He desired to be there that night and to share that meal. In less than 24 hours, they'd all be gone. And they'd run to save themselves. The Hebrews writer says, Jesus learned obedience through the things that He suffered. I don't fully apprehend that at all, but it's there. Suffering in the life of the believer is never for nothing. Never. For the people in the world, it has no meaning. There is no hope in it. There's no eternal significance. But in the life of a believer, whatever it is that your time of testing is, no matter what the nature of the desert experience seems to have in the outlying areas of the terrain that's around you, which is particular to you, it's never for nothing. It's never for nothing in the life of a church. It always has meaning, it always has purpose, and there's something about it that will always lead us to the foot of the cross and also acknowledging God for being God. All of us want to ask the question, why did this happen? Why now? Why have I been allowed to travel on this road? Why am I hooked up with these people in my life? Whether it's my husband or my wife or my children or this job that I seem to be stuck in. Or what about this disease? It seems like no one else seems to have, and yet I'm dealing with. Or what about the memories in my life regarding how I was raised or other events that have happened that have scarred me? The truth of the matter is, God does love us. And all of those things that represent, Jim touched on it this morning, particularly as it relates to death. His words, I can't remember exactly, but I was thinking this. There is something insidious about death. I think it's quite a statement about the culture right now that, you know, skulls are in. It's amazing to me. I mean, skull, I see them on t-shirts, and I see them in hats. I've seen them tattooed on people, on their arms and on their chest. The skull has always been identified with death. There is something insidious about death. Death reminds us that this whole world is decaying because of sin, but for Christ. It's through His suffering He learned obedience, and His obedience led Him to that cross and took the pummeling for God, from God in our behalf. But there's an aloneness. Jesus experienced something in His obedience that none of us will ever go through. At His moment of utter despair, the quintessential moment of suffering, He uttered these words, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" There's a level to His suffering that no one in this sanctuary will ever know, because the truth is, He will never do that in your life. It was necessary for Christ, because at that moment is when He not only died for sin, He became sin. And at that moment, there was a breach in the Godhead that I don't understand. I mean, from eternity, there had been unity there, and at that moment, there was a breach. The Holy God turns His back on the Son. But because of that, we have the assurance that God will not turn His back on us. That He will be with us in the dark hour. That He will use the dark hour to transform our lives into what He wants us to be. Sometimes it's a besetting disease. Sometimes it's an emotional strain that's one of these other relational issues that we have going on in our life. It really doesn't matter. What does matter is, all of it is ordered of the Lord to make us into what God wants us to be, and it cannot be done apart from interfacing from time to time with profound disappointment, loss, and sorrow. But it works for good. We sung about it this morning. It is well with my soul. Though the sea billows are rolling, it's still okay, because my sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. There's where your hope is. So here is the psalmist, chapter 34, years before the cross, saying, "I will bless the Lord at all times." Community church, that's where your strength is, and particularly for the week that's ahead. Stay put. Don't move off of that. Experience God in the dark hour. And those will be the moments that you will find that he will not let you down. He will see you through, and you'll be different. Life will change as we go through those times. It's a little more of dying that takes place in our life. A little more of eternity that's birthed into us. And we grow in grace. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. In Jesus' name, make that your hope and your trust.